Today is Wednesday, which means it's time for Current State's Neighbors in Action segment. We feature people and organizations every Wednesday working to make our community a better place. This week, we feature Gateway Community Services, which has offered a wide array of services for the Tri-County area's at-risk youth for more than 40 years. And here to tell us more about Gateway's programs, Jennifer Cousineau, Street Outreach Program Manager. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
And Mark Morton, who is Gateway Community Services Executive Director. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Mark, you offer a wide variety of services for at-risk youth here in the Tri-County area. Tell us about some of them.
Well, as the executive director, I generally work on administrative functions, and Jennifer is in the field. So I think I will give her the opportunity to answer that question.
Not a problem.
Yes.
Jennifer?
So we have various programs that we facilitate, but they're all geared towards working with the same population, like you highlighted initially. We work with homeless youth, runaway youth, and youth who are at risk of becoming homeless or runaway youth. We have some prevention services that we offer for minors between the ages of 12 to 17, and that would be our Higher Ground program. And that's for youth who are starting to struggle and have issues. Sometimes it could be youth who are starting to be noticed by people in the school system who are concerned, like school social workers or teachers or even principals who might call us and contact us. Maybe the youth is starting to have grade slip or exhibit some truancy, so they're starting to skip school. It could also be that a family member is reaching out to us. So maybe the youth is starting to, stay out past curfew, be gone overnight. Maybe they're starting to hang out with some problematic people. So a parent or guardian might reach out to us. Or sometimes it's the youth themselves. And with that program, it's a heavy counseling-based program. So we have a therapist that we employ, and they'll do individual therapy with the youth to discover why these behaviors are being exhibited. And then they'll also do family therapy as well to address that in a counseling setting. We have also some residential services that we can provide as part of that program as well. We have 4 beds that are paid for currently with our Higher Ground program. And that can serve as a respite for youth who maybe the family and the youth need a break from each other. So it can kind of serve to de-escalate the situation while the counseling piece is occurring, and they can stay at our facility for up to 21 days or 3 weeks. Mm. The other way that the beds play a role for that program is for the youth that have already been kicked out or have run away, and it allows us to get them immediately off the streets and in a safe environment.
Do you connect with more youth through referrals or more through outreach?
I would say the outreach is always a portion of our programming, so we're always out there trying to get the word out and getting our information out and how to reach us in case they need to. We have a crisis hotline that's answered 24 hours a day that we promote a lot in the community. So part of it is outreach, but I think a lot of it, too, is referrals, and that, you know, is like a reflection of that outreach, too.
Where do you go in your outreach effort?
Yes. So I work with a partner on the street outreach program, and we kind of handle different components. So I work a lot with the school systems, with the other social workers in the community, DHS, the foster care placement agencies, the juvenile justice court officers. I also do presentations to just business community as well, and just letting everybody know who we are and what we do. And then my partner that I work with street outreach, he goes out into the field 20 hours a week and goes to places where youth are at. So he'll go to like the Boys and Girls Club, Let's Community Center, a lot of the different parks and rec organizations, the after school programs, and also go to some of the sporting events during the school year.
So. Mark Morton, where does the funding for Gateway's services come from?
We are funded by a variety of sources. We need, and in these times particularly we need, community support. And there are a number of opportunities that would be private donors, people that are listening right now. There are a number of opportunities for that. We have a website. It's www.gatewayservices, that's one word, .org. And we have there opportunities to click on a PayPal button and send funds our way to offset the costs that we incur that are not completely covered by our other funding sources. We also have grants from the federal government, pass-through federal money from the state government, some state general fund money, money from the City of Lansing General Fund, small grants from MISHTA and the City of East Lansing, and it's a potpourri of funding sources that come through to try to cover all of our costs. We have 14 beds. The older youth are in a program for 18 months. That can get quite expensive. We have staff to maintain and a house that is older that needs a lot of care. Yeah, the sequester and other sorts of funding cutbacks have affected us in recent years. So what we are trying to do right now is get the community support, because I was reading something the other day. In the state of California, it costs $187,000 a year in the juvenile justice or the criminal system to maintain one prisoner. Well, one of the things we try to do is to get youth and try to get them in the right direction and to avoid further contact with the legal system or further expense to the taxpayers in that sense. So in that sense, we think that we offer some potential cost savings to society in addition to the good we're doing.
What I hear you saying, though, is that you'd like to connect with more individuals.
That's right.
For support.
We really need community support, not just individuals. We have support from businesses, too. We've gotten small grants and large contributions from Jackson National Life and Meijer. They've been strong supporters. MISHTA has been a strong supporter. We're very grateful for all that. But with the cutback in our federal funding, we really do need to move to get dig deeper and get more community support.
Jennifer, what are some of the patterns that you've noticed that a young person, behaviors that a young person demonstrates that people should be on the lookout for who might be benefited ultimately by what you offer at Gateway?
All right. So a couple different things. Like I was speaking of, it depends on what service they're trying to access. If the youth is starting to have those problematic behaviors, they can, like if they're starting to skip school, if they're starting to have behavioral issues, if they're starting to fight more, maybe with their family members or their siblings, if they're just starting to have that conflict, then we can do that prevention piece of the therapy to try and remedy that as a family unit. The ultimate goal of that is strengthening the family unit. But also, in my outreach to businesses, what I'll do is I'll give them some ideas of things that they can look out for. We work regularly with the various community centers and also with the Capitol District Library, which has several library sites in the area. And some of the signs that I'll tell them to look for is a lot of the youth that we work with, they might not access the traditional shelter system, but they'll be living on the streets. So I'll tell them to look out for youth who might be sleeping in common areas like the library. They might be wearing the same clothes day to day. They might always have a backpack with them. If they see somebody like that, those are signs that maybe the youth is no longer residing in home or at their home. So if they do see that, they can reach out to us, and then our street outreach team can swing through on one of our shifts and just be present. You know, we can give out some information about what we do, or they can hand them the information and the number on how to contact us 24 hours a day.
We're talking with Jennifer Cousineau and Mark Morton of Gateway Community Services here on Neighbors in Action on Current State. You have more than 80 what are called safe zones in the Tri-County area. Mm-hmm. What happens there?
Oh, safe zones are fantastic. We just started adding them about 3.5 years ago. I'm always looking to expand them. A safe zone is an organization who supports what we do. They're knowledgeable in our programming, and they want to help youth in our community. They display a decal that has Gateway Community Services logo on it, and it also has our crisis hotline. And then they have an agreement with us that if a youth ever approaches them in need of, you know, using the phone, getting out of the immense heat like today, or the cold of winter, that they can remain off the streets and in a safe spot and utilize the phone to reach out to us and call us and access our services.
You alluded to homelessness a minute ago. How common is that amongst young people in the Lansing area?
It's always a hard number to catch, you know, because a lot of the youth who are homeless might not access the adult shelter system, where a lot of those statistics are kind of drawn from. They might stay house to house, and they might not self-identify as being homeless because they do stay house to house. But, you know, we're almost always full. With our Crossroads program, you need to be homeless to qualify for it, and this is something Mark was alluding to a little bit ago. It is our long-term residential program. The youth can stay with us for up to a year and a half. We have 10 beds that are paid for with that program. We provide everything financially for them throughout the entire duration of their stay, which is what Mark was saying. It can get kind of costly. We pay for everything. And it really allows the youth to have something that a traditional family financially would have been able to provide to them throughout that time. So they don't have to worry about utilities, food, laundry, any of that.
Stability.
Stability. It gives them stability. And it allows them to work with the case manager to develop goals and work towards those goals. The ultimate goal of that program is for them to step away and be self-sufficient, independent.
And if someone wants to access the services that you offer, how do they go about doing that?
Probably the easiest way for them to do it is they could look for us online, but we also have our crisis hotline that's answered 24 hours a day, and that number is 1-877-833-3689.
Very good. 877-833-3689.
Correct.
Very good. Jennifer Cousineau is the Street Outreach Program Manager for Gateway Community Services. Mark Morton is the organization's Executive Director. We thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Current State could always use more nominations, and we know there are great people and organizations out there that are doing excellent work, and we just don't know about them. Please help us out and send us an email about these great nonprofits to currentstate@wkar.org. Please put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work that they do. One more note on the theme of the March on Washington and Civil Rights. 2013 also marks the 50th anniversary of the creation of the Michigan Civil Rights Commission. It was written into the state constitution in 1963. Michigan was the first state in the country to create a constitutionally appointed civil rights commission. You can hear an interview with Civil Rights Department Interim Director Leslie Fritz on our website. That's wkar.org/currentstate.